Well, good morning. This is Brother Van Windham from over at West Macomb Baptist Church. Glad to be with you again this morning. And guess what? I got a word to tell you today. He is alive. He is well. He is not dead. Jesus is alive and well. He is not here. As those ladies came to that tomb that morning, as Mary Magdalene and others, and as they were told by those angels, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? For he is not here, but he is alive." Good Easter morning to you. We hope all of you are up and about this morning. I tell you, we are getting ready at our church. We're going to have our service at 10 o'clock. Only one service, combined service, instead of having two. We're going to have it at 10 o'clock. Our choir is going to do a little cantata, and then I'm going to be able to preach this word that I'm sharing with you. And so we're just going to have a great morning of worship with all of our families, hopefully, be in attendance. We will meet down in our Family Life Center and our worship center there. We can open up the doors and have more room. So we invite you, if you and your family are looking for a place to go, maybe you got up early, went to that sunrise service, and you're looking for something else to do today, come on over at 10 o'clock at West Macomb. We'd love to have you. I tell you, when you have services at 8:30 and 11 o'clock, it's hard to try to plan another sunrise or something in the middle because people get confused enough as it is with the times and everything. But we just wish you a merry and a happy Easter today as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. This is what separates him from all other claim to be gods in this world. You know, there's a lot of false gods out there. They claim to be God, but none of them came forth out of that grave. None of them came forth. Muhammad's still in that grave. Buddha's still in that grave. All of them still in that grave. Only Jesus came forth out of the grave and is resurrected. So we celebrate that today. We're happy about that, because if it were not so, then the Bible says we would be as most people to be pitied, because our faith is in vain and what we believe is in vain, and therefore, you know, we're just following a fable. But we're not. It's not. It breaks my heart when I look around and I see so many people who are following just a fable, who are following just some kind of tale. They're not following the true and living Lord. And so this morning, if you don't know Jesus, then I hope that you'll come to know him today, that he will be alive, that he will be real to you today, that he will become alive to you and you in your heart today, and become your Savior that he wants to be. Because that's the reason, as we looked at last week, that he died on that cross, that he gave his body, was for us, so that we can have salvation. He didn't come to save himself. You remember that last week. He came to save you, and he came to save me from our sins. So this morning, I want us to think about, you know, I would probably say, if you were to go to Walmart right now and talk to all the people that's going in and out of Walmart, how many of them really believe that Jesus is alive and well? The majority of people in Macomb would probably tell you, yeah, I believe that Jesus is alive and well, but yet they'd be going in and out of Walmart this morning. So the question is this morning that I want us to look at, or what I want to share with you, is a life that reflects a living Lord. A life that is reflecting a living Lord. Does your life reflect that you believe that Jesus is alive and well? That's the question this morning. We're going to be reading from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10, and then we'll get right into our message. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, asking him to bless our time together now. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for what this day is, Easter, the day that we've set aside to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. The day that he came forth out of that grave, the day that he proved that he truly is the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the Savior of the world. And so, Lord, I pray this morning, if someone has not met the resurrected Savior, somebody has not met the living Lord, then I pray today that you reveal yourself unto them so that they too can come to know you as Lord and Savior. Speak through me the words that we need to hear, Lord. Cleanse me of my sin and my unrighteousness and anything that may stand between me and you, Lord, and just use me in a mighty way that your word can be proclaimed. Don't allow Satan to continue telling his lies. Lord, we know the lies that he told even back on that day when they paid the soldiers to say all his people came to steal his body. Lord, we know they're still telling that lie today, but we know that's not true. Your word tells us It was a lie from the beginning that Jesus is alive and well. He came for. So, Lord, don't let Satan steal from us this morning. But, Lord, we give you all the honor and the glory and the praise for all that you do. In Jesus' precious and holy and living name, we do pray. Amen. This morning, as I said, turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 28. We're going to read verse 1 through verse 10. Matthew chapter 28, beginning with verse 1. He says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like unto lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers of did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto them, Women, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, but what? For he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they parted quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples the word. And as they went to tell all the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." You know, as we look at throughout all the Gospels, all of the Gospels record this important day. You know, I have a book called The Synoptics of the Gospels, and there's a lot of stories that are in all four, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These are the Gospels. And there's some stories that maybe only two of them have. There's some stories that all four of them have. There's some that maybe just one of the Gospels may have it, and not the other three. But we find that when you look at the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, every one of the Gospels has an account of the resurrected Savior, of Jesus coming forth out of that tomb. And all of them talk about how that stone is rolled away by an angel, and how there's an angel there, at least one, sometimes two. But the stone will be rolled away. In one of the Gospels, they even asked, the lady said, Well, when we get there, how are we going to get in? That stone's heavy. How are we going to get it rolled away? And when they get there, it's already rolled away because the angels had done it. Well, we see here there the earthquake. The angel comes down, rolls the stone away, and he's sitting upon the stone. And when Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, when they get there, there he sits. And look what he tells them. He says, Don't be afraid. He says, I know why you're here. I know who you're seeking. I know you came to seek the Jesus that was crucified. But what? He's not here. He's not here. And did you hear what he's told them? He says, because he is risen as he said. You know, that's so important. He is risen as he said. See, Jesus told them that he was going to come forth out of that grave. He told them they could destroy the temple and he would build it back in 3 days. He told them that, like as Jonah, that sign of Jonah, That miracle of Jonah in the well, belly of the whale, of the great fish for 3 days. He said, so will the Son of Man be. He gave them every hint to tell them that no, he would not stay dead. He would not remain in that grave, but that he would come forward. So notice what they do. They go to tell the disciples. The angel commands them to do that. They run into Jesus. Jesus tells them to go and to tell the disciples. But you know, the sad thing about it is, as it's sad today, that you really believe in the resurrected Lord. Do you really believe in the resurrected Lord? Are you living a life that reflects that I believe that Jesus is alive, that my Lord is alive and well? We find over in Mark's account that when the women come, in Mark chapter 16, verses 11 through 13, it says that when they had heard what the women had seen and what they had said, what did it say? They believed not. They believed not. And then it says when they heard from the two, and we know these were the men on the road to Emmaus, when they have their encounter with Jesus and they see the resurrected Lord, And they come back to tell the disciples about seeing the resurrected Lord and how their hearts burned within them. What did it say there in Mark 16:13? Even when they heard these two men, they believed them not. Isn't that crazy? In Luke 24:11, it says the women's words seemed to them as it was idle tales, and they believed them not. Isn't that amazing? Now that they had spent all that time, 3 years with Jesus as he began his ministry, had seen all of the great works and wonders that he had done, and yet listened to him tell them. And what did the angel say? Go and tell them, just like he said. He told y'all that he was going to come forth out of that grave, and yet they still did not believe. So I guess it's, you could say it's easy then to believe. People still don't believe today in it. If they didn't believe it that day and time, after seeing the resurrected Lord, many people still didn't believe in him. He's shown himself to over 500 at one time. We know he appears unto the disciples one time, and Thomas was not there. And when they tell Thomas what? He said, I don't believe it. Not till I see it with my own eyes. And Jesus appears a second time to him and says, okay, feel my hands, look at my side. And Thomas said, I don't have to, I believe it, I see it. But this morning, do you really believe in the resurrected Lord? Do you really believe in the resurrected Lord? If you do, then does your life reflect that? Does your life reflect a living Lord? A life that reflects a living Lord, what does it look like? That's what I want us to look at this morning. And I want you to look at yourself in the mirror this morning. I want you to ask yourself this morning, does my life reflect that Jesus is alive and well today? Well, let's look at the first thing that we want to see. We see that first thing that I believe, if people really believe that Jesus is alive, then they have fear. They have fear. Number two is they're obedient. They have obedience to him. Number three, if you really believe that Jesus is alive, then you have a confidence. Number four, if you really believe he's alive, then you're watching. You're living a life that is watching. A life that is confident. A life that is obedient. A life that fears God. So let's look at those four things this morning as we ask ourselves the question, are we living a life that reflects a living Lord? What does that life do? Are we just like the disciples to begin with? I really don't believe what these women said. I don't believe what this man from me. I don't believe what Brother Van's telling me about Jesus being alive. If you really believe it, then first of all, you're going to have fear. Now, this is not the fear that we see when the angels tell them, fear not. They're in verse 5. Fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, which has been crucified. You know, they were afraid. They were fear. As a matter of fact, it says in verse 4 that the keepers of the tomb, now remember, what did they do? What did the leaders in that day and time do? They set up guards at the temple, at the grave, and they didn't want anybody to steal the body, so they set these guards up. And isn't it amazing that later on they pay them to lie about it? You know, after a while they pay them. So will you tell them that somebody, the disciples came and stole the body? But we see that when this angel comes down, it fear gripped them. It said they were like dead men. In other words, they couldn't move. They just froze in place. They couldn't do anything because they were so afraid of what they were seeing. But this is not the fear that I'm talking about. I'm talking about a healthy fear. You know, everybody needs a healthy fear. There's a bad fear, and then there is a healthy fear. That fear that maybe we should use the word respect. There's that healthy fear or respect of God, that if we really believe that Jesus is alive and well, then brothers and sisters, then we should what? Then we should have a healthy respect of him. We should actually fear him. The Bible says that just saying that we believe is not enough, that we believe that there is a God. It says the devil believes there is a God, and what does he do? He even trembles at the fact. Do you think the devil's not afraid because of God, because he knows God is alive and well? If the devil knew that God was dead, if he knew that Jesus was really dead, then he wouldn't have nothing to fear, would he? But because he knows that Jesus is alive and well, that he conquered death. He conquered the grave. He won us our victory over that. And if we really believe that, then we should live lives in respect of Jesus as well. We should have a healthy fear of God. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31, it says that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Now, if we know that a God is false and that God is not true, then we don't have to worry about that God, do we? Do you fear Allah? Do you fear Buddha? Do you fear Muhammad? Do you fear all these others that are supposed to be gods of the world? I don't, because I know they're nothing. They're nothing. These idols and things, they're nothing. They can't hurt me. They can't do anything. I don't fear them. But I know that Jesus is alive and well. I know that God is the only one and only true God. And I have a healthy respect of him. I have a fear of him, if you will, because I know and I understand that he is a powerful God. He says in chapter 12 of Hebrews, verse 28, he says, wherefore we receive what? We receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. He says, let us then have what? Grace whereby we are saved by God, acceptable with a reverence and a fear. Did you hear that? That we have a kingdom. You remember we talked about that kingdom builders the other day. We talked about that kingdom, how that it is not one of this world. But he says, we have a kingdom that cannot be moved. And he says, let us have then what? Let us have by grace that we will serve God with what? Acceptably. Now, how do you serve God acceptably? In other words, he's saying, if you want to live a life that reflects a living God, a God who's building a kingdom, he says, then you do it with reverence and with fear. A reverence of God and a fear of him, because he is alive and well. I was talking to a young lady the other day that is a mortician, and you know, we were talking about that you don't have to fear dead people. You know, when someone's dead, they won't hurt you. It's the live people you got to worry about, right? It's the live people. So many people talk about not walking through a cemetery and afraid to go in the cemetery. Listen, you ought to be afraid of walking downtown, not the cemetery, because see, these dead people, they won't bother you. It's the live ones you got to worry about. A dead God can't bother you. A dead God can't judge you. A dead God has not prepared a place called hell and a place called heaven to give you that choice to go. But a living God has. And therefore, we are to live lives that have a sense of fear or respect because we know God is alive and well. Well, let's look at the second thing. The second thing we said is it must be a life of obedience. A life of obedience, keeping his commandments. If we know that God is alive and well, if we believe in the resurrected Savior, then why would we not keep his commandments? Why would we not keep his commandments? Why would we not do what his word says? In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, he talks about a wife, and he says, wives, be subjected unto your husband. And he says, if your husband don't believe in Jesus, you obey him, and you live a life that is a pattern before him, a life that is acceptable unto God. And what did he say? That your husband can be saved by the life that you live. In other words, he will see in you that you believe in the living Lord. Now, if you got lost people around you, I ask you the question. Do they know that you believe that your God is alive because you're living a life in so much obedience that you're obeying God to the point that they can understand and they can see and know that you trust in a living God? I was watching a show the other day, and it was talking about grace, and it was talking about a young man and a young woman and how they worked at the same place, and how the young lady had gotten sidetracked. She wanted to be popular. She wanted to fit in with the crowd. She wanted to be invited to all the parties, so she had quit bringing her Bible to work, and she'd quit reading it during break time and all these kind of things so she could fit in. And she was being disobedient. How are we going to reflect that we believe our God is alive if we're trying to fit in for the world? If you're trying to fit in with the world and not being obedient unto God, then brothers and sisters, then your life is not reflecting that you believe in the resurrected Savior. If you really believe that Jesus is alive and well, then brothers and sisters, you're going to want to be obedient to him. You want to obey him. If somebody's dead, you don't got to worry about obeying them. Yeah, I've heard people say things, man, I better do this because if I don't, my grandma would come back from the grave and haunt me, you know, because you know that she wanted you to be obedient to something. Well, listen to me. Grandma not going to come back from the grave and haunt you, but Jesus is alive and well, and he'll haunt you. If you're going to call yourself a Christian, then you ought to live a life that is reflected to that by being obedient unto him. We know that Peter and other disciples, when they were brought in and told not to be preaching about Jesus, not to be talking about Jesus anymore, they said, you have filled our town with your theology and don't be doing it anymore. And what did Peter tell them? He said, well, wait a minute. Ought we to obey God rather than man? Ought we to obey God rather than man? Listen, God is alive and well. Jesus Christ raised from that grave. And we can look around and we can see all these heathen laws that our nation has passed, these evil things that we have said is good. You know, the Bible said that's going to happen. We're going to call good evil and evil good. But brothers and sisters, if you really believe Jesus is alive and well, you won't do those things even no matter what man says. You won't obey man. You'll obey God rather than man when you realize that he is alive and that he is well. Well, let's look at the third thing. If you have a life that's going to reflect a living Lord, then you're going to be able to live that life with confidence. You're going to live that life with confidence. You know, one of the saddest things that I see when we go to Romania or when you talk about people with Buddhism and some of these other religions of the world, one of the most saddest things that I see, the Muslim people, is that they have no confidence in their God that he's alive and he's going to provide for them a way to heaven. All you can hear from them is that we don't know who's going to heaven. All we can do is try to live the best way that we can. All the thing we can do is try to please them, but we don't know till we die whether we're going to get there or not. Now, would you like to live life without a hope like that? Would you like to live your life knowing that when you do die, that if you believe in any kind of existence after life, that you had no assurances of where you were going? See, our God is alive and well. And that's the reason we can have confidence. That's the reason that we can have confidence of knowing where we are going. We can have confidence in knowing that in that day is a trouble. And when we see all these things that we see going on around us in America, and we see our nation being sold off to China, and we just see our leaders leading us down the wrong road, but yet I can come to church with a smile on my face, and I can praise my Jesus, and I can thank my God for all that he has done for me. Why? Because I know that he is alive and well, and I have confidence in my God because he's alive. I've never had confidence in anything that was dead. Have you? You know, anything that's dead, how can you have confidence in it? There is no confidence to anything that is dead. It has to be something that is alive and something that is well. So no confidence in these dead things. It has to be in the Lord. So listen to what he says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 and 8. He says, we're always to be confident, having that what? We're always confident knowing that while we're in this body, we are absent from the Lord. So we walk by what? We walk by faith and not by sight, because we have a confidence of knowing that when we are absent from this body, that we're going to be present with the Lord. Now, you get that? He says, you know, we have confidence that when we're here walking on this earth, we may be absent from the Lord, but we walk by faith, not by sight, because we have another confidence of knowing that when this old body is dead and gone, that when this old earth has passed away, when all of it has melted away, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to be present with the Lord, because I have confidence in knowing that I'm going to be at home with Jesus, and I know I'm going to be present with him. Why? Because he is alive and he's well. Because he is alive and he's well. And for that reason, I know that I'm going to be at home with him, so I can live my life with confidence. Now, if I'm serving a dead God, and I don't know what's going to happen to me when I die, and I don't know where my body's going to go when I die, and I don't have those precious promises from John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. I am not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place, and I come and get it for you. See, I'm confident. I know I have a place with Jesus because he's alive and well. And he has prepared that for me, and therefore I live a confident life. I don't get all bent out of shape. I get disturbed, and I get concerned about what's going on in our world, brothers and sisters. I'll be truthful with you. But most of all, I'm confident of knowing, Lord, come. You know, come now. Get us out of this, because I know of what's out there before me. Well, then let's look at the fourth thing. The fourth thing that I said was watch. We got to be watching. A life that is watching, looking for more, and watching. Watching for what? Watching for his second coming. Watching for his return. You know, I was very close to one of my uncles, his Uncle J.C., and when I go out to my mama's house, he lived down below it, but not long after he passed away and went home to be with the Lord at a young age of 55 from a heart attack, you know, I would go to my mama's house a lot of times, and I would be sitting on the porch, and I'd look for Uncle J.C. to go up down the road. Or I'd tell my mama, I said, I think I'll run over and see Uncle J.C., and then it would dawn on me. You know, he had died. He had gone on to heaven. And it was a sad thing, wasn't it? But then, though, you know, I had other friends that I knew that were alive at the time. And I'd watch for them, and sometimes they would call me, and they'd say, I'm going to be out at your house here in a little bit, and I'd sit on the porch and wait for them because I knew they was coming, because I knew they were alive, and they were able to get there. Well, see, if we know our Lord and Savior, Jesus, is alive and well, then, brothers and sisters, we need to be watching for him. We need to be watching for him because we know that he is coming. I heard a joke one time about a young boy that he wanted a watch real bad. And every day he was asking his dad, will you buy me that watch? Will you buy me that watch? Will you buy me that watch? And his dad had had enough. And every time they sat down at the dinner table, he would say, can I have that watch? And so finally his dad said, that's enough. Well, they had a thing in their family. Every time they sat out at night and they had their family devotion, they would always quote a scripture. All the kids had to quote one scripture. The mom and daddy would quote a scripture. So we see that his daddy finally told him, I don't want to hear another word about that watch. And so when the boy sat down that night, he said unto them, he says, and what I say unto you, all watch. What I say unto you all, watch. Matthew 13:37. Now, you know, his daddy didn't know what to say, did he? There he was, quoting scripture. There he was, making mention of that watch once again. What I say unto you, I say unto all people, watch, watch. If you are going to live a life that believes in a living Lord, then you got to live a life that's watching for the coming of the Lord. Watching in all that you do. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, he says, be watchful therefore in all things. Endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of your ministry. What did he say? Be watchful in all things. Endure affliction. And do the work of an evangelist. Be watching, telling people. See, if we have a life that is going to reflect the living Lord, then we're watching for his coming. You go back up to that Matthew chapter 13, and in verse 35, I mean Mark chapter 13, verse 37, where we quoted a while ago, but in verse 35, he's talking about the seventh coming Christ, and he said, you better watch, because you don't know what time he is coming. If we believe that Jesus is dead, then why should we watch? Why do we need to be watching? Why should we be concerned about it? But because we know he is alive and well, then we need to be watching. Even in affliction, even in troubled times, we need to be watching, making full proof of our ministry. 1 Thessalonians 5:6 says, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. There's a lot of people that are sleeping because they don't believe in the resurrected Jesus. They have no fear of him. They have no respect of him. They don't think they're going to end up in the hands of a living God. But he is alive and well. Therefore, they're not worried about living lives that are obedience to him because they don't think they're going to have to stand before him one day. But brothers and sisters, he's alive and well. He's sitting on his throne. And one day he's coming back. And one day everybody and the lost is going to go past him and that great white throne as he sets up on it. We need to be fearful. We need to have obedience. We need to be confident as Christian people, knowing that, yes, we have something better awaiting us. We have a home there. We can be confident that when we are absent from this old body, we're going to be present with our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we ought to be watching unto that day, looking, hastening unto that day. In everything that we're doing, we ought to be telling people, you need to be looking up. Jesus is coming. He's alive, he's well, and he's coming. And he's coming for you and for me. Are you ready this morning? Do you know the resurrected Savior today? Let us pray. Father, thank you for your precious word. Thank you that we serve a living God. Thank you that we have one that we know is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present, because you're alive and well. Lord, if there's one that does not know you as Savior today, then, Lord, help them to see you today. Help them to know. Reveal yourself unto them. Help us as Christian people to live lives that reflect a living Lord. Let us quit living like our God is dead. Let us stand firm and move forward with great confidence, because we serve and we are obedient to a living Savior whose name is Jesus. For we ask it in his precious name. Amen.